Hello and welcome to another episode of Songdoers. If you're on episode 3, it must mean you're really into this podcast. And honestly, I feel kind of stressed out that I'm going to let you down. The last thing in the world I want to do is deliver a substandard product that drives you away from this podcast. But as my anxiety about doing that very thing grows, so does its likelihood of happening. I think I need to take a deep breath and then continue. Breathe in. Breathe out. There. That's better. I am now in a state of pure relaxation and contentment. Whereas in the past I have tried numerous therapies and medications, I have just found the solution to my lifelong anxiety. Breathing. Let's get real. Life is hard. But I think that's the point. Viktor Frankl said that humans do not need a tensionless state, but rather to struggle and strive for some worthy goal. Well, I'm struggling all right, so that must mean I'm doing pretty good. So keep listening to Songdoers if you want to live meaningfully and miserably. This is the end of the introduction, but the beginning of the rest of your horrible life. Episode 3. Ronnie Fabb. Ronnie Fabb was a man who had no reservations about dressing up in bright, colorful costumes, prancing around in leotards, or even pretending to swim in the air while balancing on one leg. He was wild, raw, and left behind a body of work that inspired a generation of perfectly nice and normal boys and girls to turn really, truly weird. Our story today is about one particular fan that Ronnie inspired. In tandem with this singular fan, Ronnie had a bizarre, otherworldly experience. What experience am I even talking about? It was called The Odyssey, and it all started when a fan at one of Ronnie's concerts was brought up to sing the chorus of one of his smash hits, Radio Lipstick. But before the two of them could say glamorous tush, Ronnie and his fan both simultaneously fell to the ground and entered comas. They were then taken to a nearby hospital, where they would stay in those comas, barely moving at all, for 48 hours. Things were tense. No one knew who would get Ronnie's signature genital guitar in the event he never woke up. Then, they awakened. At the same time, each describing having been on an odyssey. With the other one. On an odyssey? Together? Could it have happened? Maybe. They were each interviewed separately before they had a chance to speak to each other, and their details lined up perfectly. They both spoke of a dragon, a horse, a castle, and a knight. Both their journeys began in Central Park and ended up on another planet. Both odysseys had songs from the band The Police playing as background music. Their unbelievable odyssey was made into a book called Ronnie and His Fans' Synchronized Coma Experience, and then a movie called Rock and Roll Odyssey, which was a much better title, but they made up a bunch of stuff about a moat and a sword that never even happened. But what was the point of their odyssey? Their dreamlike, multi-world quest? Was there a lesson therein? They say the lesson is clear, that to defeat the dark forces that lay waiting at Gilderdoom, we must employ a surprise pincer maneuver. When people say, "Yeah, but what is the metaphorical lesson being taught here?" they say, "Oh, no. No metaphor. This will really happen." And that's where the debate currently stands. With some people believing there actually is a planet called Grail, and on it a castle called Gilderdoom with troops and dragons and all the things described by Ronnie and that fan of his. And some believing it's a metaphor for how to live one's life. Me? Well, I just like the music, man. Listen now to one of Ronnie's starry songs, I Believe You Believe. You're a cold cat with a hot lover who can't entertain the unworldly. Meanwhile, your children are your superiors. On the streets, hurried people running away from their offspring. It's clear they see them as their inferiors. If you look down on us smarter than you think, your headmastership outshines their ideals. You made the future obsolete.
bigwig with a credit card. This plague on his mind cause I bought this. I know, you won't listen, but if you didn't hear high-pitched genius, I was once sucked into your ways, but I left. Then fight the youth, tell us our world ends a fright. I believe in fantasy. Deep down I'm sure you still believe. But when the clock strikes nine, it's night-night time. Kitties. I overheard a group of children when they thought I couldn't hear, discussing new societies than the ones we hold so bloody dear. With brand new forms of government impossible to overthrow, they know how to time travel, but we can't be trusted. Oh no! I believe in fantasy. I believe you all believe with me. That toddler is young, but with a silver tongue, drools on his sleeve.
And that does it for another episode of Songdoers. I would like to thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to my podcast. It means a lot that you made the time. Unless you had something really important to do, and you were delaying it so you could listen to this episode. Like, if you're a missing persons investigator and you're on the clock, you should not be putting off your job to listen to this podcast. Or if you're a barista on the clock and people are waiting for their drinks, you should not be listening to this podcast at all. You should be making sure you have nothing else of importance to do before you listen to this podcast, because I do not want my podcast to be responsible for a missing person to remain missing or a coffee to not be delivered in a timely manner. If that's what's happening, I'm going to stop making this podcast. Please email me immediately at songdoers@gmail.com and reassure me that you did not have something more important to do when you listened to this episode. Ease my troubled mind and tortured soul. Okay, that's it for this week. Please rate and subscribe. Over.